KMAN.
And it's time for Open Phones with Dave and Kathy. So give us a call, 537-1350, toll free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. I do have that up, looking at it. So all sorts of different ways to contact us. We'd love to hear from you.
We haven't done this for a while.
No, we haven't.
What's up with that?
Well, things have been busy. My program is full now until, mid-April already, and it just seems like people are constantly wanting to get on and have wonderful things going on.
But, you know, there's a lot of neat things that are happening in this town from just about every aspect. You know, we talk a lot about economic development, new things that are happening. I did take a drive the other day up over by the Kansas Department of Ag building. I like to go over there every couple of months to overlook the NBAF development. And my goodness, you almost need to do that more about every month or so just to check up on it. And that thing is just monstrous.
I think I was there maybe a month ago. Might even be a little bit longer now. But you're right. Every time you go, there's something new, and it's huge.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine who was in town from Salina, and said, "Have you heard anything about NBAF?" "No, never heard anything about NBAF." I'm like, "Going, boy, this is a game changer. This is something else up here in Manhattan. We're pretty excited about it." One of the things I'd like, there's a couple of things that I'd like to talk about first as some events that, that I'm involved in, and you got one that you're involved in. We're going to be talking about a number of different things here. But we do want to encourage our listeners to feel free to call in about any other topic of your choice today. 537-1350 is the number to call here. We can talk a little bit about NCAA basketball. We got two former K-State coaches that are in the Final Four. I think that that's just pretty doggone cool. And I don't want to get into, where we are now. It's not the status of the program. I'm just happy for a couple of guys that I've had a lot of respect for. But let's talk about tonight, if I may, the CFAs, the Community Foundation Awards, are to be showcased tonight. This is at the Hilton Garden Inn. I think you can still get tickets in case you just got back from spring break and just, oh, that's tonight. You know, you can still call down to the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, get your tickets. You can go online, thecfas.com. I think we're expecting something about a little over 500 people to attend that event. It's all, we spent, I think I was there about 6-7 hours yesterday getting everything set up for the staging of that, and I'm fortunate enough to be asked once again to serve as the master of ceremonies for that event. So always enjoy that opportity. It's a great honor to be a part of that.
Quite the production.
We showcase a lot of folks that do a lot of great things. We showcase volunteers, you know, and gosh, you got to admit, we got so many people that volunteer on so many aspects of this community. How fortunate we are to have a lot of people that have the ability and the time to volunteer in several different levels. We're going to be showcasing volunteers, some organizations that are very worthy of becoming to make sure everybody knows more about these organizations.
It's kind of an educational event, really, too. It's more than, it's a celebration. It's a wonderful way to acknowledge and recognize, but it's also educational. And that's something I really hadn't thought about till Vern was in last week on In Focus and mentioned the numbers of people that there's all these different groups they'd never heard of.
There's a lot of people that are that volunteer, that do so many different things, and it's great to showcase them. That it starts at 6:15 tonight with a social time, and then the ceremony begins at 7 o'clock. Well, we did have a caller. They hung up. Okay. So that was probably one of those, we'd like to invite you to.
Could be. But again, 537
for a new MasterCard or whatever.
1350 if you want to enter into the discussion. This is your chance. If you have a topic or something you've been concerned about and want to talk about it, give us a call.
We've had on the news, and there's going to be a lot more discussion here over the next, throughout spring. It always seems to be a very popular topic this time of year, and that is fires. Fires of grasslands, wildfires as such. We may touch base on that here in just a couple of moments.
Right.
But first, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on K-Man.
I have a couple of questions. One has to do with the Discovery Center, and I'm just wondering if they are self-efficient as they said they were going to be, or how much Manhattan is paying for that to be open, and it's increased or is it decreased?
All right, thank you.
It'd be nice to have the city officials on to counter that a little bit.
I wouldn't have exact numbers. I don't know either. I've always been the notion that something like that is, it's tough for any museum, library to mm-hmm. break even or to make a profit. There are a lot of aspects that are on that, but I can tell you that there are a lot of people that go and visit that on a regular basis. Go ahead.
I understand that. But when it was being promoted, mm-hmm. they very much emphasized the fact that they were going to be self-efficient.
This, I think, is the fifth anniversary of the Discovery Center.
Something like that.
That's why I was wondering, mm-hmm. at this point, are we increasing our subsidies to them, or has that decreased like they said it was going to?
Don't have an answer for that,
I don't
but
have
if somebody
an exact
does,
answer,
we'd be more than
welcome.
Happy
certainly welcome. Yeah, any
to,
city official or...
Who would answer that?
That would be the city of Manhattan would have that information, actually. And our next visit, actually, with the mayor and city manager won't be till April 4th, but... Certainly, if they want to call in and share with us some of that information. I know that in our City Hall reporter might have an inkling, too, because it does come up periodically, the budgets do, and how that all works.
I do not believe that it is,
I
guess you could say,
profitable.
I don't think
it's totally self-sufficient.
It's not totally self-sufficient. Mm-mm. To what percentage, I could not tell you that.
And I can do a little quick search, too, to see some of our latest stories that we've done on that. So appreciate the call.
Okay.
And you said you had two questions. What was the other?
The other had to do with InBev. And I was wondering, now I'm delighted that somebody is introducing a bill to help finance what is going to be the cost to the city of Manhattan
mm-hmm.
because of that.
And well, it's local taxpayers in general because, you know, that it's not just the city, but it's also Riley County, Pottawatomie County. You know, there's a lot of things that with emergency response concerns that are going to warrant... additional costs, additional services.
Well, this is what I was wondering, is that when they were again promoting this, did they take that into account when they were doing all the, let's have it in Manhattan, and did they consider at that point how much it was going to cost the taxpayers of Manhattan?
I don't know that, the local taxpayers were ever brought into discussion, but the local taxpayers didn't have a say in any of these things because the federal government made the selection on where it was going to be. Whether there's a plan in place for, to make sure that local taxpayers wouldn't have an increase in the burden of the costs, I don't recall that had ever been really discussed by federal officials, but local officials I know, and I was... out there for that groundbreaking. I was a county commissioner at the time
that
got approved. I know that we have always had concerns locally about what the local costs would be for that, and they can be pretty, looks like they could be pretty high.
That's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm. But the federal officials, and obviously K-State bargained hard for that. A lot of state help with that as well. The governor and the legislature all approved what was like $206 million or something like that to help bring in BAF here to cover, a portion of the costs. But the local tax burden, I don't recall, was ever a part of any discussion on those levels before it was announced it was going to be brought here.
Okay, well, that's what I was wondering, if that was ever taken into account, because...
It has been a concern of every local official, I can tell you that.
Okay.
But where we go from here, who knows?
Looks like we're getting another phone call, too.
Appreciate your calls this morning.
And I'm still
and
researching the Discovery Center matter. So.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KMAN.
Your previous caller brings up a very good topic. If you think back a little bit, the people that were involved with getting that here are most of them gone. Kathleen Sebelius is gone. The president of the university is gone. Mayor's gone. The county commissioners are no longer. I'm not stepping on it.
I can tell you the county commissioners had nothing to do with that.
With what?
But they're all gone. I can tell you the county commission, local city, they lobbied for it, but, that was all federal, and there were certainly efforts from the city and the Chamber of Commerce that all, were part of the recruiting.
May I finish?
Well, of course you may.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your courtesy. Anyway, if everybody would look back, you're right. It was not discussed among the public. Well, it was somewhat, but they didn't pay attention to it. So it went through. Now, as I understand, and you can research this, I understand that the scientists, well, it won't open until 2025, they say, and it'll take a while to get it on board. Okay, the scientists are not going to move here. They're going to come in for 2, 3, 6 months from all over the world. So they're not going to be moving here so we can make $1 billion off of selling a lot of houses. The big thing is, everybody didn't pay attention. You just said the $2 million from the state, the city gave money. That's all taxpayer money. It's state money, city money, county money. How does it benefit me? How does it benefit the people in Raleigh County, the people in Western County? How does this benefit them? Now, the next thing is, it's not supposed to blow down a tornado, they say. Okay, if the monkeys get loose, where do they go? If they have any there. And we're sitting right in the... We gave them the land, too, incidentally. It's sitting right in the middle, right next to a long-term care center, right next to a university. If something happens and things get... If the anthrax gets out and we kill all the cattle in a 40-county area, then what do we say? They didn't think about it. Stop and think. If they'd have moved it at Fort Riley, it would have been secure. It didn't need to be right in the middle there. My prediction is they will take over all of the veterinary department and all that ancillary things along Kimball Avenue when it's all said and done. So remember where you heard it, and we'll see if it's right or wrong.
And appreciate the call. I do want to remind listeners, too, we do have a regular visit with Marty Veneer the first Thursday of each month. We chat with Marty Veneer, and she's a development partner. She works with Homeland Security and NBAF, and that's a good time to call in if you have any questions about what's going on with the National BioNegra Defense Facility. So I know we've had numerous programs where we've gone over the background of it and kind of how it came to be. So, but do appreciate the call.
537-1350 is the number to call here at News Radio KMAN. You can also tweet us at 1350KMAN. Let's see. Boy, that's, you know, we talk about MBAP from a lot of different perspectives. And, you know, when you can... You know, you follow along with a lot of the developments that Lyle Butler was in the other day,
right,
talking about that. And then, of course, you know, we had the vote by the city to help financially with the K-State Foundation and a new office building that they are putting up there in that complex.
Different
it's
groups
the second,
that are coming in, too.
Potentially of four. And a lot of that office space is going to be utilized by some of those ancillary companies that we talked about with NBAF. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on K-Man. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
I can hear you fine. Turn down your radio. You can hear us better.
Yeah, I can. Thanks, Dave. Good morning. Good morning to both of you, Kathy and Dave.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Listening to the radio, a couple weeks ago, you had several ladies on that were going to have a meeting at the library. It was like an interfaith meeting about what they can do I'm pretty sure it was the 30th, and do you know which meeting I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, and I can do a little research on that, too. It would be actually on our website because we always post our In Focuses on our website, and that would have been on a Monday. I'll double-check and get that information for you, too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've got vision problems right now. So, and then the other thing is, Dave, I'm sure you'll know about this. Who's going to be at the foundation event tonight? Will the mayor be there? And who else will be there? Will the president of the university attend?
I don't know if the president of the university will be there. Wouldn't surprise me that many of Manhattan City and Riley County commissioners would be present. I know that that's something that they are always invited to. They're not required to be there. They don't necessarily have any other city or county meetings at that time, but there always is a good representation of elected officials, both current and past, that I've seen at that.
And I did get the information on that meeting at the library. I mean, I found out it was a Jennifer Edwards and Juanita McGowan talked about conversation on race and reconciliation, a faith-based dialogue. And I'm
right. Yeah, that was it.
And I need to find out more details on that. I'm trying to remember exactly when that was scheduled for, but
I'm actually blind right now, so I can't jump online.
Oh. Right, right.
I really appreciate your work, both you and Dave.
I was thank you. Go ahead. I'll let you finish there.
Yeah, and so anyhow, And where are the tickets available? Where do you get the tickets? If you go in person, where do you go?
Well, and I wish I could pull up that whole conversation that we had back on March the 13th, and I'd be able to probably tell you. But, okay, it's hosted by – I did find out a little bit of information.
It begins at
it.
7 o'clock on the 30th.
Yes,
and
yes.
All are welcome. Doesn't say anything here about tickets. So I think you can probably just show up there.
Oh, I most certainly think you
at the library.
But how about the tickets for the foundation?
For tonight's event.
Yeah.
I don't have their number. The CFAs.com would be the website, but if you're having some vision problems, that's not going to help you a doggone bit, is it?
Well, his dog ran off on me, so yeah.
let me see if I can get that phone number here. It's the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation.
I can get the phone number.
And I got it right here. It's 587-8995.
Ah, that's easy. 587.
And I would encourage you probably to make that call before noon.
You're gonna sell out, are you?
Well, there's room to bring in more tables. I just think that they like to have a count, as soon as they possibly can, and to be as ready. We've been talking about it here a couple of times this morning, and one of the things that in our meetings that we've had pertaining to the CFAs tonight is that it's like the first day right after spring break, and during spring break, nobody's thinking about a lot of different things that are coming up. And so we just wanted to put a few reminders out for folks that, hey, if you haven't gotten your tickets for this, still some time to do so. So
yeah, you guys do great work. I love hearing your shows in the morning.
Come up and say hi to me.
I will, David. Take care.
After the show.
Thanks so much for calling in. Back to that conversation on race and reconciliation, too, really does sound like a great event. And I do remember talking to the two ladies a few weeks ago now. But they have a panel, actually, that's going to be discussing community initiatives, hoping to do some things about understanding some new perspectives. And Eileen Meyer, president of the Manhattan Jewish Congregation, will be part of that. Hadori Akbar Ahmed, member of the Islamic Center of Manhattan, also Father Carlos Ruiz Santos, with $7, and also Reverend Valencia Jackson with Bethel AME Church. So it should be a fascinating panel, and I'm sure they would welcome all. And again, that's on March the 30th from 7 to 8:30 at the Manhattan Public Library on Points.
When we had that conversation with them here in the program, I was just really fascinated with what they are trying to accomplish with this event and the talk's very frank discussion about race and religion and bringing together a lot of different minds, lots of different belief systems.
And you're wanting to have actual action, and I think they're looking at that. You hear a lot of talk sometimes, and you wonder if they're going to do anything.
Yeah.
And they really seem to have plans to come up with some initiatives and do some things.
Should be some great conversation. Break time. Open phones, 537-1350. We'll return in just a couple of minutes on K-Man's In Focus.